There's something outside.
What is that?
Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is Julie Wrench, your co-host of Monster X Radio. Welcome you to another fantastic episode. We have a special for you tonight. But before I get into all that, I want to welcome my co-host, Mr. Gunner, the Sasquatch Coffee Man, Monson. Gunner, how are you?
I'm good, Julie. How are you?
Oh, I couldn't be better, really. You know, it'd be scary if I was.
I know. I say if I was any better, I'd have to be two people.
And I appreciate you joining in the show tonight because I know you are on the road. Gunner's taking some time out on the road to park the car and do a quick show with us, so we appreciate that. So
my
what
pleasure.
We have going on tonight is we have book author and the organizer of the International Bigfoot Conference, Mr. Russell Accord. Welcome to the show, Russell.
I was waiting for the applause. Oh, thank you so much. Julie, how's
Yay.
My hair? I just want to make sure I look good for the show. How's my hair?
It looks
good?
Fantastic.
Oh, awesome. Gunner, what do you think?
I think you have a face for radio, my friend.
Ouch.
Oh, man. Okay, so what? I thought it would be really awesome to have Russ on the show because the third annual International Bigfoot Conference is coming up, and it's coming up very soon. I believe it starts on August 31st. Is that correct, Russell?
That is correct. August 31st, which is a Friday. It runs Friday,
okay.
Saturday, and Sunday. It'll end Sunday afternoon. So it's going to be a great weekend.
Well, yeah, and I've heard a lot of great things moving forward about your festival. And can for the people who may not know, can you kind of give us an idea of how all this started with you back in 2016 with the conference, when you had your first conference? How did this all come to be?
Well, it's a pretty easy story. I'm an author. As you mentioned earlier, I've written a couple books. I got invited to be a speaker at a conference in Montana in 2015. And while I was there at the conference in Montana, it was a pretty small group. Well, no, actually, they only anticipated about 40 or 50 people, and about 130 people showed up. So she was pretty delighted. So we did the conference. A couple of the guys that I met there, we got to talking, and thought, you know, it'd be kind of neat to do this on a large scale, you know, go big or go home kind of idea. And that's kind of how it started. In 2016, I did my first conference in Kennewick, Washington. The other two guys that were going to help, they lived back east, and they were really unable to do anything to assist. You know, they helped me get some contacts and that sort of thing. But 2016 was a blast. We opened up and had, you know, well over 600 people showed up for that one. And that was a pretty good start for a first conference at the venue that we had. The lineup of speakers was great. It was something else. If I recall correctly, we had Ron Moorhead. We had Cliff Berrickman. We had, who all do we have? I know Bob Gimlin was there. Yep, Shane,
Shane
you,
and I,
Gunner
yeah.
and Shane. I was going to say that last. You kind of rushed me. You don't rush me. I was looking at your picture when
You sound like you're grabbing. You're grasping there. Derek Randall's, I know, spoke for the Olympic Project. Yeah, it was a great.
Lauren Coleman was
great,
there. Yeah, it was
Adam
a heck of a lineup.
Davis,
Ken Gerhart was there. Adam Davis, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a blast. We had just for a kickoff conference. We had just a lot of fun, some really, really great speakers. So it was fun. So it was so much fun that I thought, well, let's do it again. So we hit 2017. And last year, instead of going through the lineup of speakers, I'll tell you the one speaker that stood out in my mind the most. And I think you'll agree. I was lucky enough to have Dr. John Bindernagel at the conference as a speaker.
Yeah.
And that was the last conference that he hit. And what a generous, loving, kind man. And that's the one guy that if you're ever going to model yourself after, that's the one guy to do, because he had a kind word for everyone. He never spoke ill of anyone, always met you in the room with a smile and a cheerful, hey, how are you? You know, very, very enthusiastic and just a wonderful being. And I think I'll just end it with that. The 2017, that was my highlight, was having him on that. And it's no disrespect for any of those other speakers, because there were some dynamite speakers, but he's the one that
I think they'd all agree with you. So.
Yeah. Great lineup.
Amazing. He's an amazing person.
This year's going to be fun. I'm telling you. I switched gears because it was mostly, last year it was all presentations, and the year before it was presentations. Well, this year I thought, you know what, we're going to shift gears on everybody, because a lot of time you'll sit and watch a presentation after a presentation, and pretty soon it's difficult to sit in that chair, you know, and because sometimes the material doesn't resonate with you. And a lot of people, and I'm sure Gunnar's the same way, I believe you might feel the same way, Julie, but we're visual. We like to see pretty things. We like to see colors and action, and that's why we have TV. That's why we have what we do. So this year I went a different route. I wanted to do a film festival and give people like Seth Breedlove and Lyle Blackburn and Lancaster Film, let these guys bring and premiere their movie on this stage. So instead of a presentation, they'll give a few minutes of discussion, but they get to showcase all their hard work on a film that they've made and worked so hard for. You get to visually see it, sit back and enjoy it. So it's just going to be a great weekend with some awesome films.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
Something completely different, and to have the filmmakers be there and give the context and the backstories and stuff, that would be cool. Because I think a lot of people have, you know, seen a lot of those things, but it's completely a different experience having the filmmakers there. So that'll be that's something cool to look forward to.
Let me run through, if you got a minute, I'll run through the lineup. Bob Gimlin is co-hosting it. He's the grandfather of all Bigfoot, you know. Roger Patterson and Bob were in the creek bottom in 1967, and Roger filmed that Bigfoot crossing in Bluff Creek. And the two cowboys that were there, Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin. Bob Gimlin is the only one alive today, and he's continuing the story and bringing that story forward. And he doesn't showcase it as it's all Bob Gimlin. He always acknowledges Roger Patterson and that it was him that was on the film, on the camera, and that Bob was there. You know, Bob never claims to have taken the film. He was just there, present when it happened, and it's just an amazing thing. But Bob Gimlin is a co-host. I also have Adam Davis this year again. He's going to go over some of his latest findings. Lyle Blackburn is going to speak for a little bit, and he's going to show one of his latest films. I mean, straight off the press. Ken Gerhart will be giving a presentation. Seth Breedlove will be giving a short presentation and premiering one of his films there, which is going to be kind of fun. I don't know if you know who Stacy Brown Jr. is from Florida, but he has a Skunk Ape film that he's just finishing up. He's going to do his presentation, just a short presentation on it, and then he has his film almost completed. So we're going to see this thing have never been seen before. Stacy Brown is doing his thing. So also from back east, I have the Night Stalkers, which is Mike Miller and Mike Feltner. These guys have been all over TV. These guys are just
Oh, yeah.
They're a blast. They're just going to be a lot of fun. Yep.
We're very familiar
another,
with them. They were on our show. And actually, their show is airing again August the 12th, in case anybody missed it. The one that they did originally, it was called Tear in the Woods. It's called The Haunted Woods, I believe, something similar to that this time around. It'll be on Travel Channel August the 12th. And, yeah, those two have some killer audio that they're going to be presenting at your conference.
Oh, those guys are so funny, too. I mean, I get along with them great. So those guys will be there. Another person that's coming is J.C. Williams. You don't hear a lot about him. He's a researcher. He's just an avid researcher and doesn't really hit the stage that often, but because he's just kind of a private guy. But he will also be there. He's going to do a presentation. Also, we have Bill and Amy Lancaster that are showing their film Cultured Bigfoot, and I've seen the film, and it's actually really cool because it's more about not what they're finding. It's more about the people that are out researching. It's just a really great bunch of interviews of people, and you learn a little bit about their, you know, what motivated them, why they're where they are, you know, how they got to where they are. So they're going to have the Cultured Bigfoot there. We have a local couple here. Kyle Gibson lives here in Tri-Cities. And then Mantra Freitas moved here just within this last year. Her and Kyle will be doing just a presentation. As far as speakers go, the last speaker is Burstev. His name is Igor Burstev from Russia. And if you watch some of the stuff that he's coming, this guy has got some very, very interesting and dynamic information. So he's one of my speakers
as
well.
Yes, and he is hilarious.
Yeah.
He is a fun guy, and I tell you what, that's a hell of a lineup you guys got going on there.
Available? I do. We still have tickets available for general public. We had a VIP tickets. Those sold out pretty quick once I got those available. There's no VIP tickets left, but there is general admission tickets left. So if they want tickets, they can go on the site and get those. But there's two more things I wanted to mention as far as speakers go.
Sure.
They're not speakers. These are two special guests. One of my special guests is Michelle, and she is I'm sure you've all heard of, Art Bell Radio. Well, Michelle Fried is the producer of Art Bell's late night radio program which is called Midnight in the Desert. Now, she'll be here just to meet people and talk to people and hear their stories. And if you have questions for her, she's going to be there. So she's kind of a great little somebody to meet, to kind of get to meet. But the showcase is another guy. I don't know if you remember the movie called Fire in the Sky, where the loggers were outlogging in the 70s.
Travis Walton.
Yeah. Travis Walton. He was the guy that got out of the truck and was zapped and... the story goes that he was taken into that craft and was gone. He was missing for 5 days. Meanwhile, the sheriff is interrogating the other guys in the truck. But Travis Walton will be here for all 3 days.
Wow.
To answer questions. He's got a book. So that's the one. And he seems kind of the oddball guy because he doesn't fit the whole Bigfoot genre. But I had an opportunity to get to have him here, and I thought, oh, heck yeah. Because I got questions for him myself.
Yeah, one of the most fascinating stories that I've ever heard.
Well,
and
I want to know.
Moody,
it was Bigfoot piloting.
You know, creepy.
No, I want to know if Bigfoot was piloting the UFO. I mean, we've got people that are, you know.
Some people believe
that.
Yeah,
who had those controls?
Lean that way, so maybe, you know. Maybe it was.
Yeah.
Maybe he saw Bigfoot up there. I'm not sure. One of the creepiest... scenes in a movie I've ever seen is in that movie where a needle is going towards his eye. So,
nobody likes the thought of that. That just that creeps me out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
The whole thing gave me
visual.
Sweet dreams tonight, you guys. Sweet dreams tonight.
Well, that's very, very cool, Russell, that you have all of those wonderful speakers there and then the two bonus people. I mean, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's some. It should be fun. It's just going to be fun, and that's what I want. People that come there, it's not about changing your mind. It's not about telling you, well, you need to believe in Bigfoot, or you don't need to believe in Bigfoot, or any of it. It's about coming in, listen to what people have seen and hear their experiences, come be entertained and watch these shows, and then just enjoy yourself. Have a blast, socialize, and meet these people. Meet Bob Gimlin, meet Travis Walton, Ken Gearhart, and Lyle Blackburn, and Seth Breedlove. All these guys under the same roof, what an opportunity.
Oh, yeah. That is awesome.
Yeah.
And your website is www.internationalbigfootconference.com. If anyone's interested in going in there and get some tickets that are still available. Now, have you heard anything about any lodging still available around that area?
Yeah, if you call the Spring Hill Suites will actually honor the price that they gave us for all the people that are attending. And you gotta figure, you can go on weekends, a Labor Day weekend, a guy could spend a lot of money on lodging. Spring Hill
mm-hmm.
Suites is offering their rooms, and you've been there, Gunnar. You know they're nice rooms. You get a room
Very nice.
There with either two queen beds or one king bed, and those are $110 a night. That's cheap considering you never have to leave the building because Spring Hill
wow.
Suites is attached to the conference center, so you never have to go outside in the heat. They have a great continental breakfast, and the rooms are really, really nice. Speaking of such, Gunnar, are you coming?
I am coming. Susan and I'm dragging Susan and Jake along. We can't miss it. That's one of the biggest events on the West Coast. You know, you got this one, and you got the one up in Ocean Shores, and those are really the two big events. And yours is different. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
it's going to be interesting to see this different format. I'm looking forward to it. So, I mean, that's
excellent.
You know, one thing is the different. You go to these different conferences, and after a while, you're seeing the same folks speak over and Bigfoot research isn't moving that fast. You know, I know that the first year you brought in some folks that hadn't been on the circuit per se, and
mm-hmm.
that was nice to see some different faces. It's just I can't imagine it's hard to get people, you know, over and over again and what's involved. So trying, you know, a different format, I think it's a great idea, and I would encourage folks to come in, and if you come to the International Bigfoot Conference, you'll get to meet at least one of the Monster X hosts, and that'd be me. I don't know if Shane yet is coming yet or not. I haven't talked to him about it. This summer's been kind of crazy, so. But I hope that Mr.
Yeah.
Corson will be there as well. But definitely I'll be there, and I'll be doing some Facebook Live feeds, and I'll grab some of the guests and stuff. Maybe even the organizer will spend a couple minutes talking to the Monster X Radio.
I'll ask Bob if he wants to talk to you.
Yeah, you'll ask Bob if it's okay if you come.
Bob, may I speak? So
yeah, sir.
The one thing I want to know, are you coming as a – are you going to be setting up a table, or are you coming just as a guest to see
you know,
what all is going on and just –
I'm still up in the air about that because I've done I'm really interested in I like going sometimes and just being able to enjoy the venue and the event, and this one I really sounds like there's a lot of content or stuff going on that I'd rather not miss, so I'll
yeah, there's a lot of moving
I'll let
parts,
you know
that's
this next
for sure.
week. Yeah, so
okay.
pretty
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
but
awesome,
I'll have Sasquatch coffee in my trunk, just in case.
You know. Throwing the parking lot out of your trunk, I don't know what's going on.
Hey, what's that guy doing out there? That's funny because
yeah,
there's been a couple,
what's in the
been
coffee
a couple
bag?
Times that I've shown up at events and I, you know, as a just to participate and like, do you have your coffee? Do you have coffee? And like, come on. I mean, it's, I feel a little bit like a drug dealer, but it's.
That's good. That's hilarious.
The whiskey cars, the cars. That's funny because Bob was telling me a story the other day about back in the day, he got offered a job driving a truck. I'm sorry, not a truck, a car for the whiskey runners. You know, they put the whiskey in the back of the trunk of the car. You say,
yeah.
I have 40 gallons of white lightning, and they soup up these cars, and you got to be able to outrun the police. And life expectancy is about 6 months running. And he said, I don't think so.
Wow.
No, thank you. But he's got some stories, man. It's amazing.
If you haven't had the opportunity yet, listeners, Russ worked with Bob to do a DVD of Bob's talking more about, you know, Bob is an interesting character outside of the, you know, minute that the event at Bluff Creek. I mean, you get a chance to talk to Bob. He's, first of all, he's salt of the earth guy. I've never seen him turn anybody away. He always has time for, he loves kids. He really likes the ladies. And, but he's, I mean, he's such a character and fun, just fun to hang out with. He's, you know, so approachable and like I said, salt of the earth kind of guy. And he is helping with putting on the event this year. So that's awesome. I mean, he's always been kind of an integral part of the event. Anyway, I know that the first year that there were folks, as seems to happen at any event, there were folks that couldn't make it for whatever reason. I know that Bob spoke then, and so did Cliff Berkman,
yep.
stepped in and did a presentation, and it was, you know, you're making changes on your feet. So it was pretty seamless the whole first year. I was impressed with how well things, you know, you didn't have things, didn't seem like if there were problems, you guys kept them under in the background pretty well. So, and
yeah, you'll never
was,
see our problems. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
so.
Awesome.
So I've got a couple guys like that are sitting in the wings that say, look, I got a presentation ready. If you end up with somebody who doesn't show up, we're prepared. But I'm a military guy, so I do things on a tight schedule. So what I did differently this year, especially for the vendors, is I have a couple hours. If you look at the schedule, you'll see it's broken up with breaks. And a show that I allotted 2 hours for a show that I know is only 70 minutes. That way people can get up out of their chairs and go spend time with the vendors and socialize and talk and stretch their feet, stretch their legs, not their feet, whatever. But they can go have fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can stretch out every body part you want to.
Great.
Absolutely. Maybe we'll do a stretch
and
flex like we do at work.
There you go. Some little Pilates, Bigfoot Pilates.
Hey, you might be onto something.
So
let's talk about some of your vendors. Who are some of your vendors this year?
I've got all different types. I've got a lot of people that are bringing soaps that are Bigfoot soaps and jewelry that's made Bigfoot jewelry.
Oh.
Jerry Hine will be there. He's got everything. He's a great vendor, but there'll be lots of little gifts and trinkets that have to, you know, Bigfoot related. Not everything there will be Bigfoot related. We got some T-shirt people there. I think Brandon is coming. He's doing my T-shirts for me this year. If you know Brandon, he does all the – he's got a ton of T-shirts that he makes, so he's going to have a nice little display there. Jeff Byers will be there. He's our creature replica guy. And he's actually going to do a release. I don't know if I'm allowed to tell this, but I think that he was talking to me earlier about doing a limited release, and I know what he's bringing, and I know what it is, and it's pretty exciting. But I can't give it away. But he's going to have a first-time release. There's only going to be a few made, and they're pre-order. So some pretty significant stuff coming from him. He's got some cool stuff coming.
Oh,
Jeff's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. sat around the table the first year there. In the evening, we went out to one of the adult beverage places and sat with Jeff and Wayne Barnes and Janet Bailey, Todd Meese, and Susan and I. We had a great time. So yeah, it's fun. Just I like to go and be social and see folks that I don't get an opportunity to see all the time. It's, you know, and there's some Bigfooting information that goes on, and it's always fun to talk to people about their encounters. You find it, you know, you run into folks that you've never met before, and they're open about, you know, what their experiences have been. And Russ, I want to change gears a little bit. What got you interested in the Bigfoot, the subject of Bigfoot in the first place?
Same as everyone else on the planet, it seems like. When I was a kid, my parents took me to see this movie, and it was the Patterson Gimlin film documentary in a theater, and it was scary. It scared the crap out of me because they made the howling sounds, and they showed what looked like a top head part. You know, it was kind of cool. So that's always kind of lingered in the back of my mind. My dad was fascinated by it, but he was one of those naysayers. Well, you know, if I've been in the woods my whole life, I'd have seen one by now. And I'm thinking, well, you know, Dad's, when's the last time you saw a cougar? Well, I've not seen a cougar. I said, well, we know they exist, right? So that argument really didn't get anywhere because Dad's stubborn like me. It's kind of funny, but so he's got seeing that film and just kind of going through the process of watching other people that do research. I started kind of looking into it a little bit, and I thought, well, if it really exists, how about if I do my own research? And how about if I start interviewing people? So I've been doing that since, and this is no joke, since I was in seventh grade. And I'm almost a junior in high school now, so it hasn't been that long.
Yeah. Oh no!
Buddy, you guys shouldn't be laughing. You're definitely a senior.
Yeah. Ouch. Shots fired. So
I get stuff from the AARP, so I've been getting it for a few years now. So that tells you when you've arrived.
That's right.
Yep.
I didn't order this. Yeah. So
you didn't order what?
You kind of broke up. Yeah, no, I didn't order the AARP magazine, but it sort of generously started showing up a couple years ago. So, so you saw the Patterson Gimlin film and that piqued your interest. Years go by, and there was a time I was really interested in it as a kid, and then got, you know, life takes over and you're busy doing other stuff, when you know, they invented the internet. I think it was Al Gore that did. shortly, I actually got on the chat list that Matt Moneymaker was on before he even did the BFRO. And there was a bunch of people that talked Bigfoot. It was fun. So, eventually I got back on it after Matt had started the BFRO and became an investigator for the BFRO and for quite a while. And that was fun and met a lot of great people. I'm not doing that anymore, but we have our own research group and we have a specific area we like to go. Do you go out now and actually do field research?
Me? Yes. Yeah, actually so I do. I still actively research. And I went out, we did a little bit of field research just recently. We met, I don't know if you remember Ed Brown and Dan Lindholm from Big Truth.
Oh, yeah.
These guys are still very, very, Dan's got a great area down there in some place below the state of Washington. I don't want to give anything away for him because he's done a lot of research and he's really earned his way through. And he invited us to come down and see his area, and he and Bob, I went off on my own side and kind of did my own thing, and I let him and Bob and Ed go out and Bob set up a couple of trail cams and kind of just let them visit and have their fun for a while, you know. So that was the last time I was out doing research, and that wasn't that long ago. But prior to that, I've done quite a few different things with Adam Davis, and he's the one guy that I understand. We understand each other pretty well when it comes to the way we do research and what we're looking for and how we do our business. It's just, we're just to the point, go after it. We don't howl. We don't beat on, you know, we don't knock on the trees. We don't do any of that. We're
what?
Covering ground. I know.
How are you ever going to see a Bigfoot if you don't knock on a tree or make a couple whoops? Bigfoot won't even know you're there. I mean, it's like, you know, you got to stir the pot up a little bit. I mean, the deer and the elk and the bears and the cougars don't know you're there unless you speak their language.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, but it's
there's
true.
A lot
I mean,
of cougars in this area here. You know, where I live, there's a lot of cougars around here, but they're driving the brand new Mercedes and
yeah,
and
I
just kind of leave them alone.
What do you do, you know?
But about them.
Yeah.
comedy is half price today, worth every penny.
I know. It's free today with this episode.
Keep my day job,
buy one,
right?
Buy one joke, get one free. So
there you go.
But so you just got back you this last weekend and went to the
mm-hmm.
film site. Let's talk about that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I've been down there and visited the film site, but I didn't get to do it with Bob. But maybe next time. I'm sure my invite just got lost in the mail.
Wow. You know, after you called me a senior, I don't know.
Yeah, you too, I tell you.
But I love your hair.
Steve, mm-hmm. maybe I'll let you help me drive. So there's some pictures that I wanted to get of Bob. I wanted to get pictures of Bob on location. And there was a couple things that I went down there with an objective. I do filming. I've done some films and I'm finished. I'll just throw this out there, a little segue. Adam Davis's World Explorer film, I did that, and we are finished with that, and I'm waiting for the DVDs to show up, and those will become available at the IBC conference.
Ooh,
so,
that's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. As a filmmaker, I figured film festival fits, right? So I took Bob to the site, and what I wanted to do was I wanted two things. I wanted to get a DVD. I'm sorry, DVD, where am I going with this? I wanted to film Bob on the river bottom walking by the water where the fighting took place over 50 years ago. So there were a few people there, but everybody was very, very gracious and good enough to just say, I'd say quiet on the set, and everybody would just stop moving because the camera, it'll pick up everything, every sound. So I got to film Bob walking a couple times down on that bottom. And then I went down in the creek and I had Bob approach from the left and he walked the exact same path on the bank that Patty had walked.
Uh-uh.
So I have two things that I really wanted. One, him on the river bottom or the creek bed, and then the other one with him walking the same footsteps that Patty walked. And it was a couple takes to get that. I wanted it perfect. I think the first time I had him, I said, look, you got to come up to this point and just pause for a second, look out over the water and be, you know, just kind of do his thing. I said, but whatever you do, Bob, don't look at the camera. And the problem was he forgot that he was only supposed to pause for a little bit and then just turn and keep walking. He came and stopped at that area and just stayed there and stood there majestically with his walking stick and didn't move. And I'm behind the camera and I'm waving to try to tell it, you know, kind of signaling to keep moving. And the thing was, he didn't look at the camera, so he didn't see me looking like a crazy man behind the camera trying to get him to move. So, and that was one of those beautiful moments where it was great. It was just great. But we finally got the cut we were looking for. Rowdy Kelly was down there. He's the one who actually mm-hmm. walked us down. And it took us about maybe close to 30 minutes to walk down. We just took it nice and easy. Bob handled it like a champ. He handled it actually better than some people in the group, and it was great, to include me probably. But We got all the way down to the site. He lights up and he's looking and recognizing. He goes, that tree right there, you know, and then he gets in the creek bottom and he's looking up and he says, yeah, this is. And then he went to a big tree that was very significant. And I kind of stayed back because Tate Hieronymus was there. Tate wanted to ask him a couple questions. So I stayed back and let Tate talk to Bob about this big tree. And it was neat. It was just one of those things where I got what I wanted, and I was able to get Bob down there for a couple of the people to get what they wanted. And Rowdy Kelly took some drone footage while we were down there, Bob standing in the creek bed, he just kind of came up and you're looking at Bob and then the drone just takes off straight up in the air, you know, several hundred feet up, and it just looks really, really cool. And then a couple flybys on the creek bottom. So, and he passed that on to me and he's allowing me to use that as well. So we're exchanging information and, you know, swapping footage and pictures and everything else. But I never saw a man happier than watching Bob walking around down there and literally walking in the same spots.
Wow. Well, what are you going to do with those clips? Is it going to be available on DVD or?
I'm finishing up my film with Bob, and it will be on his.
It'll be part of that. Great.
Yeah. You don't do a film with Bob without getting him on location, and I had to do that.
Yeah,
this is
absolutely.
I mean, this is a different DVD than the one that's you did one with Bob last year, and it came out at the conference. And can people still get that DVD?
Yeah, anybody who wants to get any, because Bob has pictures for sale, and we're getting ready to add more pictures to that bit. But he has pictures for sale and his DVD. The DVD is a 2-hour documentary. It's about Bob's life. And if you thought you've done a lot in your life, you watch that 2-hour documentary and you realize this man has been through everything. He's done so much in his life. And that was what we released last year. The next film that we release will actually be, and this was more, he didn't talk much about the Patty film during this documentary. Just a little bit. He touched on it. But I wanted Bob. I wanted his life first. What we're doing now is the things that surrounded that event and what took place. And the thing is on this film, I can't show the Patterson-Gimlin film because that's Patterson's film. But I can tell Bob's story and what Bob saw and how his perspective and get Bob walking on that same path. And it was funny because when they finally showed the film in 1967, they put it on the screen, they showed it, and Bob's standing there watching it. He kind of upset a few people because he said, well, that ain't nothing. I saw way more than that. Well, people are seeing this little scope, what came out of that camera, what people saw, and Bob's had nothing in front of his face. He took it all in and saw everything. Whereas Roger was trying to reposition himself. He said that Roger actually fell down once. And so what we're getting, what we get to see on that, those few seconds of film is through a camera lens of a guy that was trying to hold it steady and keep himself, you know, and get this footage, where Bob didn't have to deal with any of that. He literally watched it play out in front of him. So his what he saw and what he saw on the film was night and day. He said, you know, people got a little sore with me over that because I said, well, that's nothing. That's not what I saw. And kind of, he wasn't poo-pooing on the film. He was, you know, he was just being honest Bob, you know. So pretty cool.
Wow. That's interesting. I did see your clip of you and Bob when you was coming back and you were talking about Tate. And I saw some things that the Bluff Creek Project had posted, Rowdy's part of that. You know, some of the some stills that they had taken of the area.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you're right. On Bluff Creek Project on Facebook, you can see that. That's Rowdy. Some of his footage. He's pretty generous with sharing what he saw and what he the pictures he took of Bob and everything, which was really cool. And for them to get Bob on there, you know, right there where they've done so much work, those guys literally made it, the trail down to the area, great. They made the area nice. They cleaned it up and made it really, given it all the respect you can imagine by taking care of the Bluff Creek site. So
yeah.
A lot of hard
and
work went into what those guys are doing.
Get kudos, and they don't hear the recognition that they deserve out there, because they, you know, they're just flying under the radar doing what they do. So kudos
yep.
to you guys out there at the project.
Amen. Yeah, definitely. Bluff Creek Project guys. And I'm not singling out just Rowdy. I know there's several that go out there and really work that area and make it nice. My hat's off to all of you. And I mean
uh-huh.
that, all of you. It won't matter. If you're part of that and you're helping, and it's about respecting what took place, the historical event, and respecting Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin, then I appreciate
yes.
it big time. Yeah.
Well, so we talked to IBC. Let's talk a little bit about your books. You're actually an author, and I've read the first two books of a promised trilogy. Now waiting impatiently for book number three. But really, they're really good books. I mean, there's a lot of crappy band. There's not very many that are like a pleasure to read. The stories are great. The way that it's put together. You know, J.M. Bailey did the Eve trilogy, and these are put these on the same kind of level as J.M.'s books. They're really good reading. I mean, they're just entertaining. The story is very compelling. You switched it up between book one and book two, which I didn't see coming, and left me hanging with a big cliffhanger for book three, which, when is that coming? I guess the question in the public is, people are calling me all the time asking, when's book three? When is Russell going to write the frickin' book number three? So this isn't just me saying. It's like hundreds of people are calling me all the time. And I'm just passing the message.
The book number three, I've actually got all the chapters laid out. I've got quite a bit in each chapter. And the thing is I worked full time at a job that requires my undivided attention, and mentally it's very, very exhausting. I'm dealing with a nuclear site. So you're dealing with radiation, and you're dealing with contamination, and you're dealing with alpha, beta, gamma levels of what you can
really
and what you can't.
That really
explains
a few things.
It does. I'm sure it does. But it's very, very difficult to navigate through that in the daytime without coming home just wiped out. So on the weekends, when I have my weekends to myself, I have a daughter, a dog, and a wife that, you know, my family has to have my time. They're the most important thing in my whole life. So, and I've had to put the book a little bit on the back burner for a little while because I have this conference coming up. And I also took on the working on the Bob film. I've also took on working on Adam Davis's film, but now that that's done, that took a little bit of load off. And then I'm also working on a whole nother film, which is fairly time consuming. And it's just between putting the conference together, juggling work, and sneaking off on a weekend to Bluff Creek and that sort of thing. I hate to say it, but it's kind of been on the back burner for a little bit. I have made a promise to my family and the people that have read the book. I've made a promise that once this conference is over, you got to give me a couple weeks, just resettle and reset time. But I'll sit down and I will complete that book over the next couple months. I've got
awesome.
It. I would say I'm close to halfway done. And it's that sounds like I've gone halfway and stopped. I've got so much in every single chapter. I have to go back in and just finish the details that come to mind. That I want to, it has to be real. It has to feel real, and the texture has to be there. And there's some really heart-wrenching chapters that I have to write, and I have to tell you, I don't like writing those because they break my heart. Because some of the stuff that I write is actually based on people I know and actual real life events. That's why it's easy to be that kind of a writer. So.
Well, that's interesting to me because the protagonist in the first book, come home from the military, Montana, goes in the anybody you know, based on anybody that you know. It sounds like a guy that I've run into a couple times.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
I do know a guy, a military guy from Montana. Uh-huh. And you know what? I've had so much grief over my characters, too. Because, you know, people will say, yeah, you base it on a military guy, and you act like, you know, you base it on as if it's you, and you're this tough guy. And I'm thinking, no, that's not it. It's a character. I base it on how I would react in situations, yes. And then some people love the characters that I have in my book with the creatures because I want them to be as realistic as possible. But the thing is I based my creatures or my characters in my book based on people that I know. And it's interesting that I've done it that way because I know how they would react in situations that I write in my book. So I'm able to react and stay consistent with how they are. And then you've always got the people that say, well, what about that female? You make it sound like you're all crazy and in love with her. It's like you have to have something in a book that has if you have a book about nothing but muscly, brute, violent characters and tough stuff going on, there has to be a balance. You have to have the cute little adorable baby, or you have to have the female that, and it's because you make them so human-like in their actions and in their behavior and in the way they walk and the way they stand, you have to make them realistic. So if you take your characters and you base them off of the tough guy that I know that is the character Red, another tough guy, super tough guy that I know that is Scarface, my female character in my book is literally based on a girl that I know, and she's almost 6 feet tall, and she's just very, very fit, and she just has that way about her. So I'm able to just kind of pretend that she's that character, and I'm able to pretend that the Scarface is that guy, and Red is this other guy, and the older character and the younger, you know, playful children, you know. So it makes it evens all the pressure out. And some people will make fun of it, and that's fine. Make all the fun you want. It's okay. But I want you to be able to relate to what I'm seeing and what you're seeing in your mind's eye. And it has to be something that is either pleasing or breaks your heart or makes you laugh or gets your emotions going or makes you angry. Book number three, Gunner, I'm going to tell you right now, book number three, you're probably going to want to smack me with it because I'm going to make you angry in the book.
Well, there's been some heart-wrenching stuff in the first two books already, so I can't imagine what you're going to do to our characters, our favorite characters in book number three. We need to talk before that goes to press. There's some So there's some that just can't, you know, have bad experiences.
Right.
There's been enough. I'll have to read the first two books again before the third one. But in all seriousness, you do a great job. Like, one of the things that's fascinating in the idea of there being this species out there that we know so little about, and we, you know, one of the biggest mysteries is what is their culture like? What is their, you know, what do they... How do they act, spend their time when they're, you know, not running across the road or walking down Bluff Creek or whatever? I mean, when these as my good friend David Ellis, these human intersections with these creatures that happen in brief periods of time, and your books go into kind of cover that, look at what that might look like, and it's you know, just like any book, some they're for some people, other people, you know, other people can take them or leave them. But I really like the first two books. It sounds like I'm not going to like the third book, but only because I'll have to go through boxes of tissue. But Anyway, they're really good books. Where can people find the first two books so they can get ready? Because it sounds like book number three. You know, I know you're a really busy guy, blah, blah, blah. But the book number three needs to be priority one after Labor Day. So by Christmas, if somebody's looking for a Christmas present for me, this would make a really good one. Book number three. And what are the titles of these books, and where can people find them?
Yeah.
I have a website called, and it's RussellVictorAcord.com. It's all one big long word, RussellVictorAcord. And the books can be found on Amazon. The first book is Footprints of a Legend. And that's the one that was just the kind of kicker book. That's where you get started. And the second one is Bigfoot and the Tripwire, which takes off from the first one. So you kind of get that continuity. The third one, which I'm finishing up, which I'll keep working at it. You got my word, is Bigfoot of the Bitterroots. And the three books have they're just a pencil sketch on the front of all three books. The first one is Scarface. The second one is Red. And the third one is Blue Eyes. And if you've read book number one, you'll know the characters by the look on the books. But on Amazon, if you look under Russell Victor Acord, or you look under the titles of the book, which would be Footprints of a Legend or Bigfoot and the Tripwire, you'll find them and you'll be able to access them that way. But on my webpage on International Bigfoot Conference, at the very, very bottom of that page, it says Bigfoot Links. There's one link, and it says Footprints of a Legend, and that'll take you directly to it.
Right on. And I give Russ a hard time, but I really did. He did a good job on these books. So if you haven't read them, I would encourage you to go to Amazon or to the IBC website. I know we're getting close to running out of time. We've got about 5 minutes left. So, Russ, is there anything that you want to share with the Monster X audience while we got you for a couple more minutes?
Just a couple things. I would love to see anybody who has an interest in seeing these films and meeting these dynamite speakers and filmmakers to come meet them. It's not about me. It's about them. We're setting a stage for these guys to shine and for you to meet them and make them accessible. Come meet Bob Gimlin. He's going to be there with a friendly handshake for every person that wants to meet him. He's just there. Come meet Travis Walton. I mean, that guy has got a story that will blow your mind. I can't wait to sit in the room with him and just pick his brain. You know, I love that he accepted the offer and I got him up here. So that was kind of a cool deal. If you're a Bigfoot researcher or if you're a researcher of any type, there's going to be people that will not understand why you do the research that you do. And they might not always agree with your findings or your ideas and that sort of thing. But I got to tell you, whether you're looking for Bigfoot, you're looking for cougars or bull elk or pictures of that sunset on the perfect, you know, rugged ridge with the pine trees and everything in the background, the best thing is just to keep at it. You're doing something that is healthy. You're in the most beautiful environment possible, the most oxygen-rich environment possible, and you're experiencing nature. And I grew up in Montana, and you take those moments and you enjoy it. You get the heck out of the city. You get away from the cell phone. You get away from the car, and you go embrace what's out there, because that's a resource that is slowly dwindling. And grab it while you can and eat it up. So research away. Go see what you can find. Go enjoy what you can. Get your snapshots. Get your research. And don't look back. If somebody says you're wasting your time, they're wasting your time arguing about it, because you need to just keep going. So keep it up, people.
Yes, couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Much so.
So, again, if you're interested in attending the International Bigfoot Conference, coming up, starts on August 31st, runs through the weekend, come meet Bob Gimlin, Russell Accord, all these authors, Lyle Blackburn and Seth Friedlove, and Monster X Radio host Gunnar Monson come to Kennewick, Washington, and there's tickets while they're still available. I know towards the end of these events, a lot of times there's a big rush, and you can get shut out. I mean, it's possible, you know. You might not get in the door. Fire Marshal says it's full. You're SOL.
Yeah,
so,
right.
And that's Sasquatch out of luck. So,
and that's at the Three Rivers Convention Center, Kennewick, Washington, everyone, so you know.
Yeah, in the Tri-Cities.
Great venue.
It's a beautiful facility, yeah.
Yeah, great venue. So come hang out. Let's have a beer, and we'll see you up there for sure. I'm excited to like see the context of these. I've watched a lot of these guys' shows already. I know Bill Lancaster. We've chatted. So he's got another documentary coming up. So fun stuff, and I've seen his first one. It's just good stuff, and you get to come watch these documentaries and films. Mm-hmm. And nobody doesn't like Seth Breedlove and Small Town Monsters. I love their stuff. They do it the right way. It's fun to see somebody handling these subjects with seriousness and professionalism. With excellent editing, and they've just gotten better as they've done more films. So, yeah. Julie, you got anything?
Well, I just, want to encourage people to, if you're out in that area, I would definitely say go to this thing, because it's going to be, I wish I was able to attend it.
What?
Unfortunately, this year, no, I cannot, but I should probably make plans to do it next year if you guys are going to do it next year, Russell. Hint, hint.
Mm.
Do it next year. do another one next year. The International Bigfoot Conference and Film Festival, you guys definitely want to check it out. I want to thank Russell for taking time out of his busy schedule. I know that you've been very, very busy. Thank you for joining
me. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And
yeah,
Brenner, thank you for popping in with me here. We will definitely be bringing you another Monster X radio show in the near future. We have some special surprises coming up for you. Also, if you have not, he's like, what? You just don't know it yet, Gunner. if you have not joined the Monster Exclusive, I would suggest you do that, because we have a lot of really cool things going on behind the scenes that only our exclusive members have access to, and you can do that by going to our website, Monster X Radio. Click on Get Exclusive. We have some good deals running right now. You can check them out there. And I want to thank everybody for joining us and supporting Monster X Radio. And until we meet again, keep it squatchy.
Right on.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. See you soon.
Thank you.
Yep. All right.
Thank you for joining Monster X Radio.